Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of the book, Destiny. But first, here's the message, the gospel and the last days.
Matthew 24, Jesus is predicting the signs, the seasons, the conditions that will exist before he comes again. Now, there's a lot of craziness around regarding last things and predictions, and frankly, there's a lot of wing nuts out there regarding prophecy. But what we need to hear very clearly is what Jesus said and what the Bible teaches about these last days. Now, the scripture is saturated with prophetic words. You cannot read the Bible without having some understanding of its prophetic word. The Apostle Paul himself said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, or unlearned concerning these things. We need to know as much as we can about the future as God has given us. But for example, you may want to just write these down as references. 1 in 30 verses in the Bible have to do with prophecy or the return of Christ. 300 references in the New Testament alone speak of the second coming of Christ. It's mentioned 23 books of the 27 books of the New Testament. One half of the New Testament is dedicated to future things and the last days. In the Old Testament, of course, the great leaders and preachers and prophets and priests and kings such as Job and Moses and David and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel, all of these speak of the days that are ahead. And Jesus spoke often of his return. And that when he returns, there will be judgment upon the earth, and that we can look at certain signs and seasons and the convergence of these signs in our own times and have an understanding to get prepared, to prepare ourselves for the future. Now, I need to make one thing clear before we get started here with these signs. There is no sign, absolutely none, that needs to be fulfilled for Jesus to come for his own people, his church. Not one. We don't need to look for the rebuilding of a temple in Israel. We don't need to look to these signs that we're about to see, which take place in the tribulation period. But we are looking for the coming of Jesus for us today. For us, I mean those of us who have trusted him as our Lord and Savior, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I got you a little chart because many new Christians and sometimes some of us who have been in church for a long time don't understand that the coming of Jesus Christ is really in two parts. Now, that's a simple way of putting it, but let's say in two episodes. One is when Jesus comes for his church. That's the rapture. You say, is that taught in the scripture? Absolutely. The scripture says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you do not sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord will be caught up. You don't like the word rapture? Okay, use the words caught up. We'll be caught up with the Lord in the air, and so will we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So look up. Your redemption is drawing near. I believe in the immediacy, the imminency of the coming of Jesus for us. It will be suddenly, it will be secretively, it will be supernaturally. We're out of here. We are now living in the church age. Jesus gave us his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The church is his body on earth. And for these days and years and millenniums, we have been in this period of history, the church age. But then, notice the arrow upward, that's the rapture. When the church exits, when God's people, when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are taken away, translated into heaven. Jesus talked about this as well as Paul. He said in Matthew 24, you can see it down in verses 40 and 42, then two will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left behind. There will be two sleeping in the bed, one will be taken, one will be left behind. There will be two grinding at the mill, one taken, one left. He said, therefore, stay awake, for you don't know when the hour of the Lord is coming. So we are to be ready for the rapture. And then after the rapture comes tribulation for 7 years. Now this is what you may have heard of as the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. It is a holocaust on earth. It is what the world has always wanted, and that's life without God, life without Christ, life without the church. And there will be hell on earth. And this tribulation, Jesus would say here in Matthew chapter 24, unless those days were shortened, everyone would die. And what we see in the signs that Jesus indicates here in Matthew 24 are the things that will happen in the tribulation period. But listen to this. If we see these signs converging and concerting in our own generation, we can know that we're getting closer and closer. In fact, Jesus used the words that these signs are like birth pangs. That's verse 8. All of these are but the beginning of the birth pangs. Do you see that there? The beginning of the birth pangs. Now, I don't know one thing about birth pangs, thank God. But I've been told they're not all that pleasant. But birth pangs, as you know, begin, and at first they're a long way apart maybe, and then they get closer and closer together. And they get more intense, and then they multiply. And then through the travail, the baby is born. That's the image that Jesus is using here regarding these signs, that they're like birth pains. When you see these things happening that we're about to read, and they're intensifying, and they're multiplying, and they're ramping up, and they're running harder and harder and harder, you can know that you're getting closer and closer, closer than ever before, to what's going to happen in the great tribulation. After the tribulation, then comes the second coming and the millennial reign of Christ. The second coming, this is the parousa, which means the coming of Christ. This is when Christ comes with his saints. We will be with him. This is that moment when he comes to rule and to reign forever and ever. And this will be a wonderful time. But believe it or not, even in the millennial reign, there will be a satanic rebellion. And ultimately, Satan will be cast into the depths of the pit. The final judgment of the world, the great white throne judgment, will take place. And the new heavens and the new earth will be forevermore. And we will be with him forever. And at the travail of Mother Earth, it's as though Mother Earth right now is pregnant. And those birth pangs are multiplying and intensifying, and one day Mother Earth will give way to a new birth for planet Earth. Now, that's a panoramic view of these last days. And the message, remember, is it's time, so get ready. How do we know that it's time? Well, in verse 4, Jesus said to them, this is Matthew 24 in verse 4, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. The first of these signs is what I'll simply call deception. Deception. There will be an explosion of false messiahs and antichrist and cultists and false religions and spiritualists and those who claim to be the way. You know, today everybody's discovering their own path to God, and New Age mysticism, and many claim to be Christ and have through the generations. But what we see today is religion without Jesus on the rise. And that's the deception. Ultimately, the final deception will take place when the Antichrist, the man of sin, will be revealed, and that is the one who will come with offering solutions. The world's going to be in so much trouble and so much turmoil and so much tribulation, and there are no political answers, there are no human answers. This one will rise up as a political leader seemingly overnight. He will be charming and charismatic and powerful and perform even supernatural stunts with his false prophets and so on, and the world will fall at his feet. Jesus speaks here in Matthew 24, verse 15, of the abomination of desolation. And that is when this Antichrist, like others before him, will set himself up to be worshiped from Jerusalem itself. This one who comes as a savior is really the beast. And he will lead the armies and the forces of evil against the people of God. But Jesus said, be careful when you see religion without me rising up, and false prophets and false Christs and others claiming to be the way. Be ready. That's a birth pain.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, the gospel and the last days. Our hurting world desperately needs the hope that only Jesus provides, the very hope that we celebrate this Easter season. That's why we're excited to announce that for a limited time, your gift to help proclaim the gospel through PowerPoint Ministries will be doubled by a $150,000 matching grant. As a thanks for your generosity, we'll send you Dr. Graham's book, Destiny, to help you fulfill your God-given purpose. This is the last week of this offer, so call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word DESTINY to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. And also be sure to sign up for Dr. Graham's podcast, Bible in a Year. Now let's get back to today's message, the gospel and the last days.
Then he talks about divisions. He says, wars and rumors of wars. Verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of war, and see that you are not alarmed, for this much takes place, for the end is not yet. And then he said, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Divisions. Now we know that's true, and it's always been true. But when Jesus says that nations shall rise against nation and this division, kingdoms against kingdoms, the idea of kingdoms there is ideologies. There will be a clash of civilizations, a war of worldviews, if you will. Now, of course, we're seeing that today between the East and the West, a conflict of ideologies. But these wars and rumors of wars that we are experiencing today will not compare to the global conflict of the last days when mankind truly is out of control in the tribulation period. No doubt. And when you read, you can read about the tribulation in Revelation chapter 6 through 19. When you read some of the signs that are unveiled and the bowls of wrath that are outpoured and all these symbols, it sounds like warfare of the mass kind that we have never seen before, and the terror of it and the horror of it, the war, the final war will take place. And with the war comes disease and famines. Look at verse 7 of Matthew 24, the diseases that will take place. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. If you do look in Revelation 6, remember the four horsemen of the apocalypse? You hear about them? And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth. Now, did you know that 800 million people go to bed hungry every night? 95% of these live in developing countries, specifically in the African continent. Disease? AIDS is pandemic. 8,000 people die every day of AIDS. It's a disease that we'd never heard of 30 years ago. And then earthquakes, he said. Verse 7, there will be earthquakes. According to the U.S. Geological Society, the occurrence of earthquakes in the world is on the rise, including killer quakes. Another thing Jesus says, that there will be danger, extreme danger. Look at verses 9 through 12. Matthew 24, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. It is a signal of the last time that it is dangerous, especially if you are a believer and a follower of Jesus, that the love of many will grow cold. People's hearts are going to get harder and harder. Love will disappear. And again, there will specifically be attacks upon people who name the name of Christ, both before the tribulation and certainly during the tribulation, because there will be some who will come to faith in Christ during the tribulation, led to faith by the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. They will pay the ultimate price in death and martyrdom and blood and tears. But all who live godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:12, will suffer persecution. And we can see in our own times, not persecution in America. Now, there is perhaps some persecution in America, but around the world, did you know that people are dying for their faith in Jesus Christ like never before? But even here in our country, while there's not as much persecution, there is greater and greater opposition, I believe. And we will see that continue. And I just wonder, when it really gets tough, what's going to happen to many church members who really aren't living for Christ? They just are sort of they're part of the group. But they're not prepared and ready for what is to come. You know, the super sign of the last days is what's happening to Israel. And that's really another message, another sermon altogether. But as we see the conflicts of the Middle East, it's all about Jerusalem and the Middle East and the control of Jerusalem and of Israel. 1948, Israel became a nation again. And since that day, the Israelites have been coming back to their country in support of this. And of course, the conflict between the Israelites and the Arab world is severe. But this was all prophesied in the Bible. Listen to Zechariah 12, verses 2 and 3. Behold, I am about to make Jerusalem a cup of staggering to all the surrounding peoples. The siege of Jerusalem will also be against Judah. And on that day I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will surely hurt themselves, and all the nations of the earth will gather around her. That's what's happening today. The focal point is the Middle East. So when you see all of these signs converging now, and knowing that they're going to intensify later in the tribulation, you got to think, could be today. Remember, the next thing on the calendar is, we're out of here. Perhaps today. No sign has to be fulfilled before Jesus comes for us, but then unleashed is this tribulation and this judgment. Oh, there's one more thing. Verse 14 of Matthew 24. And the gospel, there's our word, the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. That's happening today. The gospel is going forward as never before. The greatest growth in the history of the church is taking place today, right now. Around the world, the churches are some of the largest churches you've ever... I spoke with a Korean pastor who came to visit with me. His attendance in Seoul, Korea is 30,000 every Sunday. And that's small compared to others. And there are churches in Africa and churches in South America. And of course, the large church movement, the mega church. I don't like the idea of mega church because the emphasis is on the wrong place. I like mega ministries. I like the church to be identified by what it does, not how big it is. But nevertheless, the largest churches in the history of American Christianity exist today. And church planting, there's a new focus on planting new churches and multi-site campuses such as we have. I'm saying the greatest growth of the church is happening in our generation. And there's greater unity of the church than in any previous generation. The labels, denominationalism, not denominations. Denominations will exist and may need to. But denominationalism, the idea that, you know, your denomination is the only one or the right one, or that people grow up, well, I'm a Baptist bred, I'm Baptist dead. I mean, that kind of thing is going away as people are cooperating more together to get the gospel out. There's more cooperation among churches today of all kinds who believe in Christ and the gospel than ever before. So there's greater unity. There are greater resources, media, money, seminaries, pastors, missionaries, books, Bible studies. I mean, can you remember? I mean, it wasn't that long ago. Churches didn't have bookstores with resources and Christian literature. Freedom of religion is advancing, not only in America where we do have civil liberties and constitutional freedoms, but around the world, doors are opening. Economic globalization, opening doors. We're traveling now to countries we've never been before. We've sent groups many years to Romania. Who would have believed behind the Iron Curtain we would be preaching the gospel and going there to preach the gospel? Friends, it is happening. Telecommunications, you can be any part of the world on the internet today. I'm telling you, the gospel will not fail because Jesus will not fail. In spite of all this downturn, I mean, it's not getting better and better, folks. It's getting worse and worse and worse. But in spite of that, God's gospel will prevail. So, how shall we respond? Number one, believe the gospel. If you don't know Christ, believe the gospel. It's time. And if you are a believer, believe it more than ever before. Such security in this. I mean, we don't have to live with headline hysteria, wringing our hands, wondering what's going to happen next. We know that God is in control of history, that history is His story and His plan is being carried out. And we are, because we are believers, expectantly waiting for Him to come. And then live the gospel. Live the gospel. Don't be a weak, emaciated, half in, half out, lukewarm kind of Christian. Don't be a carnal Christian living for the world, because this is all going down. 2 Peter 3, therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by Him without spot or blemish and at peace. Revelation 3:11, I'm coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. 1 John 2:28, little children, abide in Him that when He will appear or shall appear, you may have confidence and not be ashamed at His coming. Live for the glory of Jesus and then share the gospel. How can we know these things and not share our faith with others? Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. The urgency and the emergency of these times demand that we be faithful in our witness, here in our community and then around the world. And then love His appearing. Paul spoke of those who love His appearing. Be leaning in on tiptoe with expectation of joy. So get ready. It's time.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham. And today's message, the Gospel and the Last Days. We hope you've been encouraged by Dr. Graham's message today, and we want to let you know about a book that he has written designed to help strengthen you in this season of life and help you fulfill your God-given purpose. It's titled Destiny, and it's our special thanks for your gift to help boldly proclaim God's Word through PowerPoint. And remember that when you give a gift to help spread the message of hope to the world, it will be automatically doubled thanks to a $150,000 matching grant. This is the last week of this offer, so call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word DESTINY to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store,
give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. And also be sure to sign up for Dr. Graham's podcast, Bible in a Year. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Well, the first thing we need to do is obvious, but let me say it again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. And if you already believe, believe more fervently. Commit to discipleship and following Christ with your whole heart. This will encourage and strengthen your faith. The second thing we should do is live the gospel. This isn't the time to be a weak, emaciated, lukewarm Christian. Revelation 3:11 says, "I'm coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown." Rid yourself of unconfessed sin and serve God with your whole heart and your strength and the resources that you have to the work of Christ and His church. The third thing we should be doing now is to share the gospel. Because Jesus is coming soon, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:11, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others." If you know the blessings of God's grace and you recognize that God is coming to judge the whole world, you have an obligation to share His grace with others so that they also may believe. And the fourth admonition we have is to love His appearing. This means that we should be standing on tiptoe with anticipation and expectation of joy. Our Redeemer, our reigning Savior, is coming for us, and that's a reason to celebrate life every day. Let me say also that we should be loving life because of what Jesus has done for us. Don't feel sorry for yourself or for anyone who belongs to Jesus. We're living life to the max today because Christ is living in us and the best is yet to be. In 2 Corinthians 1:12, Paul said this, "For I know whom I've believed and am convinced that He is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me." So as the day approaches, soon approaches when Christ will return, you and I can live life every day full of hope, full of confidence, full of faith and joy. Keep looking up. Keep moving forward and onward and upward because we know the gospel of our God and Savior is alive within us and He is coming again.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you the book Destiny as thanks for your support today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word DESTINY to 59789. On the next PowerPoint, Dr. Graham brings a message about why you can be certain of your salvation through Christ. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.